feel a little bit of anxiety or anguish about the possibility of speaking about grief or to reflect on loss, and even put that in the newsletter for the month so as to just to prep the possibilities that we would venture into a place that really is holy ground. It is where we are at our most hurt sometimes, where our most loved possibly, where we have put away on a place, perhaps that Job is not there at the moment because he says it all. I am so sorry that I was ever born, and perhaps it's best that I do not live. Well, we're going to talk about the geography of grief, and it's oddly titled because it kind of connects to a story, and whether there are slides that kind of connect with that, there's some things that will help you, because this is going to be less like a sermon, which is much more much more clear, much more pointed to a specific a focus or message, because this will be more like a workshop, and you just said, thank you. Maybe not, okay. Well, if it says grief above my head at the moment, this isn't the grievous description that we begin with. Cheryl and I met in our mid-20s when we were seminary students, and as you recognize, some of you, that a few weeks ago we celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary with the gift of flowers in the sanctuary. It's been an adventurous road trip, and one of the things about the roads that we have driven is that we discovered soon after our meeting that I being born in Bristol, Tennessee, in the northeast corner of the state of Tennessee, and Main Street was the state line for Bristol, Virginia also, and Cheryl being born in western North Carolina and growing up just on the eastern side of the Western Mountains in Glen Alpine, North Carolina, that we grew up essentially just 2 hours from each other. And it took the state of Kentucky and graduate school to get us together. But here is of all the delightful drives through the mountains, we call the Smoky Mountains and the Blue Ridge Mountains and Pisgah National Forest, that all of the things that describe all the delightful places from Bristol, Tennessee to Glen Alpine, North Carolina. There's a wonderful road called Highway 181 that leads into Glen Alpine and Morganton. And it is here that's a bit of a parable about one of those trips. So of that, one particular night that we were driving from the one place to the other place in the midst of the night, and it was dark. And as what sometimes happens in the summers in the mountains, that the fog that begins to come into the valley on a humid night when things begin to cool down and the fog begins to fill the valleys, and eventually kind of covers the whole mountains, that on that night the fog and the night and all of it so worked together that we were driving in such a way where we were running the windshield wipers. You know, they tell you to keep your lights on low, but you check to see if they don't just work a little better on high, and we're guarding, watching the rail and the white line to the right and the double yellow line in the middle, because no one is to pass on a curve. In the midst of all of this, one just begins to lean in. The anxiousness of it all, the worry of it all. Will someone come across the center line coming up the hill and straightening out that curve? Will someone come too quickly from behind us? Because are we going fast enough or slow enough that we don't also find the taillights of another car straight in front of us? And the parable to me of that one trip from place to place is that it's a bit like the experience of grief. It causes us to feel anxious. It clouds all that we perceive. What is a beautiful view of the brown mountains in the daytime with an appropriate pull off into to the place to get off the highway to see those mountains, or to take a hike down off of the highway into a swimming hole of a mountain stream and the beautiful crystal clear cold water. None of that was available to us on the fog clouded night of that drive down Highway 181. If it is here that that the road describes something for us, to describe something for us of how grief changes our life experience when a particular loss touches us and changes everything about life that was once so recently normal, joyful, peaceful, just simply non-event of it. To enjoy life day by day, and when we experience a loss, it comes to us like we begin to go to work on a Monday morning, and by Friday the news comes to us that we are laid off, and all the complications of all of that begins to change our life and the tumble of it all. It may not have been our dream job, but it was the job that we were grateful for when we were grateful for what we were thankful to God for. It helped provide for us or our family. It was that job which we had, not the job which we once had. And the feelings that come from that are a part of grief. Or it may be that, as others have related at different times, the experience of looking forward to the future of a different time of life, a time of retirement, where health or other relationship issues change, all the possibilities are those future dreams and the plans that are before us. So what becomes a difficult drive by the fog that settles in upon us and makes us feel fearful or anxious or worried about the drive to home becomes the experience of loss in our lives that affects everything about us and our expectations to come. There is here that that as we share, there are in your bulletin this morning a small insert that has some of the specific points and some references to the website, which would be the background of the information that I will share with you from a group called Grief Recovery Method, and some listing of some books, and I'll bring all my books in next week so you can take even the ones that I'm resourcing for today and next week with, if you wish to do that. For pet loss, for other questions of loss, in the essential book, there's also a book about when children grieve, for yours, for your children or grandchildren, your nephews or nieces or your students, how it's not for them to read, it's for you to read, so as to talk with them about loss. Well, one of the things that Grief Recovery Method identifies for us, that grief is a normal and natural reaction to change or loss of any kind. And grief by any other name is still grief. Let's just think about that for a moment. Is that up there? Yeah. Grief is the normal and natural reaction. I think sometimes that to be sad is that we're taught not to be sad. Has anybody ever heard a message like that? Don't be sad. Wait a minute, I'm sad. You mean I can't be sad, that I am sad? Well, I'm sad about that. It is not a sign of weakness to be sad. It's not a character fault. It's not something that you need to get right in the moment. You agree?
Yeah.
It's a normal and natural reaction to change or loss of any kind. Mind blown. Any kind. We'll push those boundaries in just a minute. Grief by any other name is still grief, and we may name other kinds of things that are a mix of it or identified with it, whether it be depression or anxiety, whether it be other senses of fearfulness, hypersensitivity, or a sense of blankness or dullness, unable to respond emotionally to the next new situation because we're bagging it in. We have come to a place where we have closed it off, and all of these are the expressions and the experience of grief. And it is, if we might say in some ways, very essential to mental and spiritual health that we work with this in some way, that we begin to see this in a new way, of all of it working like this. Another definition of grief, and comes from the Grief Recovery Method, is that grief is a response to a change in or end of any familiar pattern of behavior. So the change is simply that. the grief may be may arise from that, or the memories that connect to that, of the holidays once celebrated and how they might have been celebrated, of the change in the pattern of behavior from the child who lived in that room to now is off to college or on to other life adventures or challenges. And for that same child, perhaps even an adult, who is now in a change of a place, of a pattern of behavior in relating in their life. I came home from my first quarter of college and somehow told the doctor I needed to be checked out. I only identified the physical reality of that, but distance and homesickness and the feeling then of anxiety and a churning stomach was my reality. There must be some physical need here, and yet didn't quite touch the moment and the necessity of all of that. It could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual and a variety of things. I've been thinking about that as next week is Father's Day, and we will be talking about grief in the connection of the broad topic, but I will also share some things, how I'm processing that with the first Father's Day of my dad's death. My dad lived with Cheryl and I for about 4.5, almost 5 years, and the most simple thing is that most mornings I get up and say, well, what will I have for breakfast today? With my dad, I knew what we would have for breakfast. It was a familiar pattern. It was hot cereal on Monday, cold cereal on Tuesday, and if we had a good banana, he would like a half a banana. There was McDonald's on Wednesday, and it was often biscuits and gravy with an extra serving of gravy. And as his appetites changed and his abilities changed, it went back to the regular serving of gravy. And then it was again cold cereal on Thursday, hot cereal on Friday, and then a homemade breakfast of some kind, including toaster waffles on Saturday and Sunday, and eggs and bacon or sausage and those things. I did not have to think ahead about breakfast. And now I just default to an old bowl of cold cereal. But that's a grief. It's a grief in the way that it reminds me of loss and connects me with the feelings both then and now. And that is a very important thing for us in the living of life, in keeping our hearts open for love, for understanding, our ears open, our eyes looking and reflecting, even for our own self's sake and those around us. Breakfast with Dad. Slide number 4, and the picture is way too small, I know, in the insert in your bulletin, but slide number 4 just identifies a whole variety of things, and often I think that we associate grief or the topic of grief most primarily with someone who has died, that we have a significant other in our life, and hopefully one that we loved and one that we honored and that we felt a good connection to, because the loss of a significant other that we had a broken relationship with, and we're going to talk about this next week a little bit, but how is it that grief can attach to all these things? The loss of a pet? You ever experienced grief? Either as a child or an adult, there's no question. The breakup of a significant relationship or a divorce. And maybe you do, even treat our teenagers and our grade school children with a little more sympathy when they have their little crushes. And we just said a word that may sound like it diminishes it, but to say that to lose a relationship at whatever age is important. Significant to listen and to open our hearts. But things we might also grieve are major life transitions. I've indicated the graduations and the going off to colleges, or the changes that make able to achieve a goal or fulfill a dream, a diagnosis that has brought that change in what was the normal expected pattern of a life that was before us and what we still yet expected to do. The effects of big decisions, even those decisions might be ultimately good for us. And how we share those decisions with those who share life with us, with a spouse or with children, that we attend to them in the changes that happen to us, that they come along with us, a friendship breakup, a person we were before, some traumatic or life-altering situation, a transition of faith, that the things that we once believed dearly in perhaps stood on like a hill to defend with guns blazing becomes a principle or an idea that now may seem unattractive to us, that we change and our understanding changes, and the grief that goes with the changes of life like that. And they may be good changes, necessary changes. I wrote, so there's some other things, and I may give you an opportunity to shout out one or two. Does anybody ever have the effects of aging working on them? Everyone except Denver, I think, is, as Barb said, I wish I had your energy, that 7-year-old. But yeah, it's whatever vitality we are not what we were, are we? Our abilities to accomplish what we once did, whatever that was, however it is now, doesn't matter in some grand scaling or grading. It is the reality that things have changed. And we have to acknowledge that even as we want to go ziplining for our 70th birthday. That's me. We need to attend to these things. My hearing test this past week was an example of that. Now it's just whether I will do what the doctor said. What would be a universal experience of grief that we might all have passed through since March of 2020? You? Yes? What happened? Would you call the experience of the pandemic a one of grief producing? Absolutely. A change in an expected pattern of behavior would be the simplest description of that. And yet all of that with the turmoil and the turnover of life and the challenge of and the need for health information and those who countered that with their own narratives and all of that. Perhaps now we all know what a narrative is in a way we did not understand that, because so much of the experience of that was how you thought about that and who informed you in understanding the story of our life together. And I would say that everyone, unless they were in a sealed capsule, experienced grief in some way out of that. Much less the dear ones who passed from among us during that time, especially for the COVID-19 infection. All of these are the realities of a shared experiences. A congregation may have shared losses or griefs that become a part of a life of a community. And so when we connect individually with our own ability to grow our heart of listening ears and seeing eyes and speaking words of connection and care and of growing our hearts together, it becomes a communal experience of God's grace infused in this place. Amen? For all of that. So the grief recovery method is my background information and paradigm that will help me, and this is why it's a little different than a sermon, much more like a workshop, because I would have spoken 95% about Job, and we'll come back to Job in this week and next week. But the grief recovery method was founded by John James, who over 40 years ago, and he had the experience of the death of a young son. And as a construction company owner and as a workaround guy, he tried to show up to places in 1977 to explain the empty hole in the midst of his life from the death of his young son. And he was, as best his description would be, he was told how to feel. Not helped to feel, or given instructions on how to get to where he needed to be, but he was told how to feel. This is how you ought to feel. Well, that wasn't useful to him. And so he began to work with the idea, the understanding of the grief recovery method as he birthed it himself, not a psychiatrist, a psychologist, not an MD, not a social worker, but a guy who began to look into and reflect upon and read about what was needed in his own life. Russell Freeman, who helped write all of the books, Grief Recovery Handbook, and make that distinction, the book is called Handbook, so you can read through it on your own, order it off of Amazon if you wish. I would be glad to talk with you about it. When Children Grieve, all these things. Russell had experienced the loss of two marriages and one bankruptcy of his own business, and found John James in the midst of all that, and their life together was the rest of the work of the grief recovery method. So why is grief even such a topic that might cause us sweaty palms to think about or talk about? Well, grief is misunderstood, and we'll just indicate these as we come to a wrap-up moment this morning, that grief is so misunderstood from the myths and misinformation. And if you or I could peel back to the earliest lessons we received about grief, I mentioned it earlier, don't feel bad. Da-da, whatever the reason. Don't feel bad, da-da-da-da. There are other fish in the sea. Well, I wasn't sure I was fishing for fish, but don't feel bad. We'll get you another puppy, et cetera, et cetera, to replace the loss, to move something in that is to block the experience of the experience, a feeling just for some time, that sadness, so that we can grow a bigger heart and bigger ears and more beautiful eyes. And whether we smile or frown in any particular day, we can say our truth and ask another of theirs. Be strong. It's not just for guys anymore. And I mean that jokingly. It should not be for any of us. But we will say to a parent, be strong. Or if a child has lost a parent, we might even say to the child, for the sake of your parent, be strong, don't let them know. Or they get the message somehow that they ought not grieve as a child or grieve as a parent, but the child will grieve most often as the parent grieves. And so therefore, if the parent does not, the child will not, because it can only be that they've shared that experience that way. Keep busy. Busy or not busy, but busy will not bring a resolve or a recovery or begin to make steps in recovery. It takes time. Well, there will be time, but time does not do it. There are many more, and I hope not to offend anybody this morning to say that one of the things that we do or say to keep people from grieving is that we tell them, well, that was in God's plan. Can you groan for me? I want to be kind if that's how you believe, but think about that for a moment. For what it does to first ourselves, because we've said it to ourselves, but what it does to the other individual. However God is in the moment, and Job is a part of the story of that, and it's part of Job's story. However we are in the moment, if we are told that God is in charge, or God caused it, or God took that child, or God caused that horrific car accident, then how can we grieve? But that we question the very Almighty God. First off, I think we can question God. Do you agree? And I don't believe God is in charge that way, to cause calamity and war and diagnosis and diseases. I believe God is with us. And I can believe that for you in whatever circumstances you are or will be or have been. I can believe, as I believe, that God with Christ Jesus on the cross, that God does not abandon us. Jesus might have felt abandoned, but God hadn't gone nowhere. I truly believe because God is with us in our Garden of Gethsemane and in our most grievous days. And so sometimes we use God to get out of dealing with the hurt or the pain or to mask over it. God is with us. Job will wrestle with that, and so will his friends, and we'll come back next week. But we see that Job, and that's where that image of the fog coming up Highway 181, beautiful otherwise until the circumstances change. Same road, same sight, same scenes, same opportunities, but the experience changes. And Job said, there's a cloud and a darkness that just, I wish I had never been born, that my mother, that I was not even conceived. And some people's feelings of grief have so been stopped that when they come, they wish the end of their life, if not work toward it. Ann Morrow Lindbergh, some of you know as the Charles Lindbergh and Ann Lindbergh, lost a son who was kidnapped and held for ransom, and then they found the child deceased couple of months later. And she was a writer that wrote many eloquent things in the stories and reflections on the meaning of life. She wrote this, and this is a hope of a heart and open ears and eyes. I do not believe, she wrote, that sheer suffering, a word that we'll use for grief, if suffering alone taught all the world to be wise, since everyone suffers, everyone grieves, to suffering must be added mourning, understanding, patience, love, openness, and the willingness to remain vulnerable, that heart. All of these and other factors combined, if the circumstances are right, can teach and can lead to rebirth. And I believe that we can continue to grow from the experience of loss, because there is no life that we will live without experiencing it. Amen?